This is Synth City with Rob Harvey.
On the phone, by luck and imagine, is Mr. Noel Francis. Hello, sir.
Hello there.
How are you this evening?
I'm fine, thank you, Rob.
Normally, when I get a chance to, I don't actually get to chat. We talk of like Facebook talk during the course for the show when you're just finishing or in the middle of rehearsals. Is that how it goes on Tuesdays?
Yes, yeah, so usually either on Monday or Tuesday. I have like David comes round, and we do stuff. On the studio, we've got the week off now, so it's quite nice.
So you've got the week off, but technically you're working at the moment now, aren't you?
Well, yeah, I'm still gigging on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, so, it's a kind of welcome change now that we've, like, finished doing everything with Dead Ender, so it's nice we can sit in and listen to your show.
Because it kind of must have been a bit of a sort of a whirlwind, as it were. I mean, I played you the little clippet from the famous little video of yourself on the tube, and it sort of, you know, then the next minute there's a new single. And how did that come about?
In what respect do you mean?
With Shelter.
Oh, with Shelter.
Yeah.
Something that happened literally after, a couple of days after the tube video went viral. I got in contact with I've been in contact with Mark.
Yeah.
From Shelter beforehand, because being a Mad Erasure fan and loving anything that Andy does. I've been listening and waiting for like the new single from iPop, and when I listened to Beautiful, I think it was on Radio 2, I believe, noticed that Mark was in like a chat room, so I sent him a request, never thinking the minute he would reply or anything, and he did, and I just said, I think what you've done is wonderful with Andy, and we got talking. Talking way before the tube video, to be perfectly honest with you. I started sending him different things that I'd done, and of course the tube video the response is, well, it's hard to explain, to be honest with you. It's just colossal.
Yeah, I think it's
so many people asking me to release A Little Respect Ready for Christmas. Release it, they'll get to number one, release it, you know. So I've gone in contact with the Erasure management and said, would they have any problem with me doing it? And they said, no, by all means do it.
Wow. But
the thing was, it was in such a small space of time before Christmas,
you know what I mean?
So
yeah, and you want to do the thing justice, don't you? I mean, it'll be a big build-up, and then you go, huh? Because people don't realise there's a lot of, it's not a case of the quality of what you produce, there's a lot of actually background marketing, pushing it left, right and centre. It doesn't sell on its own.
It's done behind closed doors, there really is. So I got in contact with Mark, and I said, look, I've been inundated with different people saying, can I release this and can I release that? And I always remember to this day, he said, give me an hour and I'll get back to you. And I said, oh, okay, got back to me in an hour, and he said, how soon can you get over to the Ministry of Pop Studios? Where are they? And he said, it's in Wales. And I went, oh, that's a long way to go for a talk. And I said, with all due respect, a long way to come just for a chat. And he went, oh no, we're writing you a single tonight. And I'm like, I didn't know where to put myself. I went, I'll be there Monday. And I thought my Christmas would come at once. Yeah, that's the way that that connected came about. That was went over there, met the guys, and I think I was the first person after Andy had recorded iPop in the studio, and I always remember Rob saying to me, what's it feel like to be the last person to be behind that microphone was Andy, and I went, I can't explain it. It was quite surreal,
And of course, since then you met Andy as well.
Yes, at the 30th celebration, like Rory Jones put together. That was completely surreal. I'll always remember. That's a friend of mine, Alex, who drove me over to Birmingham. I was doing like a rehearsal.
Yeah.
And she said, "Andy's here." She ran over and said, "Andy's here." And I went, "Andy, you?" He's being thick. She said, "Andy Bell." And I went, "Oh, God, no pressure." kind of thing. You know, when one of your idols, you've followed all, you know, since day one,
yeah,
you know, steps into the picture. It's like, oh, God, here we go. But he's lovely. I mean, I've met him before, and I know Andy's family, his mum and dad anyway, and his sisters. So I have met him before at the in Cambridge when we went over to Fear Asia in Cambridge. But singing with him was just a dream come true. You know, you never ever think. Is things that dreams are made of in one respect, you know. So, yeah, it was wonderful, really, really wonderful.
So after Connected, you had sort of another single out, and both songs connected and have kind of got a nice, I wouldn't say light, but they've got a nice pop feel to them, as opposed to the direction that we seem to find ourselves with Dead Ender. It's got a sort of massive, dramatic feel to it.
Completely different, isn't it?
Completely different.
A lot darker.
Yeah,
a lot darker. Well, I mean, A Ghost was written by an old school friend of mine. Sent it over and said, "Have a listen to this. See what you think." And it really struck a chord with me.
Yeah,
because my father had passed away, and it was like, "Oh yeah, I think I can do this some justice, put some, you know, some real feeling into it."
Yeah,
and then Dave came in and said, "Have a listen to this. This is a song I've been working on called Goodbye." And, you know, I've known David since we were, like, kids. We were, like, 15 when I first met Dave. I mean, we're massive ABBA fans, still are, to this day.
Yeah.
And there's quite, like, an ABBA-ness to Goodbye in one respect. A Dead Ender came about is Dead Ender, believe it or not, is around 20 years old, to be honest, when we first had a go doing it.
So you kind of revisited something?
Yes, we've got quite a few songs that Dave has written years and years ago, and we thought, you know, that this is the time now to try and revisit these and put a different kind of output out, instead of it being, you know, complete pop, something a little bit more dark, darkish kind of thing. So.
I think with the technology of now as well, makes you, because people have loads of ideas and they park them ideas because they can't say work out, but how am I going to bring that idea from my head onto the keys or onto the instrumentation that we're using? But with now, with some of the technology, it kind of helps you find that sound you've got in your head and put it down.
The sounds and everything, that's all basically down to Dave, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, he comes around mine. We both got exactly the same studio.
Yeah.
So he'll rock up around mine and say, "Have a listen to this," and made a few different sounds on this. And I really, especially Dead End, I said, "Oh God, that really is dark, and I'm really liking this." So, the thing is with especially with songs that you've been so accustomed to. I mean, I'm so accustomed to Dead End. It's been part of me and Dave for years and years.
Yeah.
You can sometimes get really not too close to a song, but you have to stand back from it, because, you know, you become so too involved in a song, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So what we decided right at the end, it's like, yes, this is good to go now.
Yeah.
So, and then you just have to, like, it's almost like letting a child go, you know what I mean?
I think you're the I think you're the first person I've spoke to in a long while.